Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh, welcome to Bible study here at Light of the World at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. We are so glad that you are here face to face, and also that you're streaming with us on the call on today. So we thank you so much for being here in noonday Bible study at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. This is Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are here today to bring forth the word to you and all of you. We want you to share with us as we do this Bible study. And so what I'm going to do is we're going to pray now. You can pray in your homes. I'm going to pray, and we are thanking God that God is going to bring forth an anointing, and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to fall fresh in this place on today. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We glorify your name, Lord God. We lift you up and we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for another day and another opportunity that we can call upon your name, God, and we can give you the glory, give you the honor, give you the praise, Lord. You are so worthy, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, for our church, the Light of the World, Christian Tabernacle International, Stockbridge, Georgia, and our leaders, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for their lives, and we thank you, Lord God, that we'll be great followers, Lord God, as they lead us and they follow you, Lord. And, Father, we thank you for those that are face-to-face here and those that are on the call, Lord God, on Blog Talk. Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that you will bless each and every person, Lord God, and their families, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord God, that we have clarity concerning the word, Lord God, as we leave this place today, that we'll be more enlightened about what the word is saying and what God is saying for us to do. So, Father, we give you glory, give you praise, and give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We also want to offer prayer for Pastor Lamont.
Lamont?
Yeah. She's having operation today.
Praise God. We thank God for healing.
And we also want to pray for Sister Ollie. We don't know if she's doing better or not, but we want to pray that God would continue to heal them and
pray that
the surgery for Pastor Lamont would go great and she would have a speedy recovery.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Believe in it.
Honor and glory. And
hallelujah. Healing in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm excited about this word today. We've seen now Paul is still on trial, and he has our last Bible study. Paul was beginning his defense, and so he was giving his activities as a Pharisee. He was just telling them what he did as a Pharisee. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes, he is. Let's pray for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
So Paul, Paul is given his defense, and he's now given his activity as, I said, as a Pharisee, and how he was zealous and how he did what he thought he would do, and he was given this as a religious man. He was religious, and so he's making the distinction now that religious, being religious, don't get you into heaven. And so now we see he's going to start talking about his life as a redeemed man. He talked first about the religious man. Now he's going to talk about the redeemed man, and so this is going to encapsulate his conversion. And I'm sure we all remember the day that we got converted, that we had an encounter with Jesus, and he made the difference in our lives. So we thank God for that right now. And we're gonna begin reading at the 14th verse, chapter 26, verse 14. And those of you who want to be live on this call and participate, we need you to press 1 so we bring you live. and make sure your background is suitable for the call. Just press 1, and we'll bring you live. We want to make sure that you guys can participate. Amen. We'll bring you live. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to start with verse 14 and 15. Here it goes, 14 and 15. So, Elder Davis, you want to start with that?
And when we were all falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now, here we have this famous encounter of Paul going down the Damascus Highway, going to get permission to persecute some more Jews. And Jesus knocks him off his horse, he and his caravan, his party. And Paul says something interesting. He says, who art thou, Lord? Mm-hmm. So now, how did he know to call them Lord? So he says, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus, the one whom you persecute. So now these two verses start pretty much of what Paul's mission was all about, as we'll see in the upcoming verses.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Okay. What I like about verse 14, the word all, it says all of us fell down to the ground. Okay, that just goes to show you when God got a calling on your life,
mm-hmm.
on your life, I don't care who you try to get in the mix of or try to hide from him,
mm-hmm.
he's going to get your attention one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he knocked them all down, he was after Paul. He was trying to get Paul's attention. Because, see, God had a plan for our life even from the very beginning of time. So that's what really got my attention when I seen the word all. So that kind of makes you wonder, since all of them fell, why didn't he just deal with all of them? No, he was after one specific one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because he loved him.
Mm-hmm.
So remember now, this is Paul. Paul is giving his testimony on his conversion, and he said that at midday, when the sun as was as bright as, there came a light and it knocked them off their horse. And so then he said, as he fell to the earth, he heard a voice speaking to him. And listen what he said now in a Jewish tongue. Now, God ain't going to speak to you and you don't know what he's talking about. I don't understand these people who have a word from the Lord and they don't know what it means. God would not speak to you in a language where you don't understand. Now, he could have spoke to Paul probably in Greek, too, because Paul, no doubt, was fluent in Greek, too. But he spoke to him in a Jewish tone, letting him know, you are a staunch Jew. You are a Pharisee, yeah. So I'm going to come to you where you are. I'm going to talk to you at your level where you are.
Mm-hmm.
When God comes to us, he don't try to be up in heaven talking to us. He come down where we are in our mess, in our situation,
mm-hmm.
and pull us out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we just want to just wave at folks and say, hey, y'all doing all right?
Mm-hmm.
But he came down to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he took our time.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And to have this encounter with Paul, one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And when Paul, and he said, he called him by name. He called him by name.
Mm-hmm.
He know all of our name. He's going to call us. When he's waiting for us, he's going to call us by name. He ain't going to say Sister So-and-so. You know how we say Sister, you know what I mean? No, no, no. He's going to call you by your name. And then call him once. He make sure Paul heard him. I know you got hit off that horse, and you might be a little stunned. But let me let you know, I'm calling you.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, Paul, Saul, Saul, why have thou persecuted me? Why are you doing this to me? Now, Paul thinking what he was doing was good. What he was doing was pleasing God. He thought he was on the right track. I mean, he was ambitious.
Yeah.
He was anxious. And the word he used, he was zealous.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing what he thought God wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't it amazing how we can think we're doing something, and all the time God ain't pleased with it.
Oh, Jesus.
But geeked up about it.
Mm-hmm.
We go full force with it. And God ain't even pleased with it. You know, one of the ways we do that, when God shows you somebody's fault, all right, their
mm-hmm.
shortcoming,
mm-hmm.
it ain't for you to talk about them.
Oh, Jesus.
God reveals this to you.
That.
So
pray
he's
going
to be a help to the person.
Yeah.
But a lot of times
mm-hmm.
what we do,
talk.
We go, oh, you see so-and-so.
Yep, yep.
You're talking to the wrong people. The only reason why God showed you
Lord,
for you to
Lord.
Help that person. God ain't about no God.
Mercy, Lord.
He is about pulling us all closer
mm-hmm.
to him.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see something in somebody
mm-hmm.
that don't look right,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
if you're going to have the nerve to talk to them, pray for them.
Yeah.
But don't tell everybody else.
Amen.
But we think we're doing good.
Amen.
We think we're doing something
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I see that spirit in her. I see
mm-hmm.
that. Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No. If God show you something, your job is to go help that person. You're not brave enough to talk to them, pray for them.
Yes.
But don't tell nobody else.
Because
mm-hmm. they ain't going to help that person. That's going to make the worse.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we do things thinking we're doing what God says.
My Lord.
Because God reveals stuff to you, but that don't mean he wants you to talk about the person.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to help the person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he said, Paul, why are you persecuting me?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know it's hard to kick against the prick?
Mm-hmm.
I have chosen you. You know, he made that clear. No one else have chosen you. I have chosen you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes we may have a calling on our life, not working in our calling, and the Lord has to get our attention
yes.
in that
mm-hmm.
direction also.
Mm-hmm.
So he made it clear to Paul, that's the reason he appeared to him because of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And Pastor Butterfield.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, understand that Paul is, to use an expression, really making it plain. And what I mean by that is, when he first started talking, he was explaining how he was and what he used to do. Now he's flipping the script so people could understand who he is now and why is it he is doing the things that he is doing.
Mm-hmm.
God knew that he wanted to use Paul. So he came to him midday and a light hit Paul that was brighter than the midday sun.
Mm-hmm.
And how ironic is it that God used the light to give Paul the light so he could understand
yeah.
the error
mm-hmm.
of his ways, knocked him right off his horse. And how ironic is it that before he got the light of understanding, he thought he was justified under the authority and the commission of those very people who were now trying to accuse him of a crime, who are now trying to put him to death. But there was
mm-hmm.
a total reversal. And in that verse 14, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It was a personal declaration to Paul himself directly. He called, as you said, called him by name and asked him a very direct question. Why are you persecuting me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Paul had to clarify, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. And because Jesus revealed himself clearly to Paul, Paul had a total transformation of his mind. In that, now I realize that the man who was put to death was truly, truly the Son of God. And he's no longer in the grave. He died and was resurrected. So I have got to listen to this man, the Son of God, who's reigning in glory, now reigns over me. Amen.
Wow. Amen. Awesome. Amen.
So we see.
Amen.
Although he was persecuting the church, Jesus said he persecuted me.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this now. God, Jesus takes it personal when we mess with anybody that he shed his blood for. he takes it personal. So we got to be careful who we talk about, who we mistreat, who we don't do the right thing by, because Jesus is taking it personal. Paul was going after anybody who called the name Jesus. But Jesus took it personal. He said, you came and you coming after me. So now I'm here. Oh, my God. Jesus came in person. Let me straighten you out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see in the section now Paul is talking about his conversion. He's going to talk about his commission. Then he's going to talk about his consistency in his life. Okay? So we see now where Jesus says, point out to him who he is. He didn't have to ask Saul who he was because he knew it. And so now Saul is saying now, okay, I gotta think straight now, because now I'm face to face with Jesus. I heard about it. I heard he rose from the dead. But now face to face, we're talking one-on-one now. And he said that I'm persecuting him. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? You at a job that you have been hired to do a job. And you are cleaning up. You think you're cleaning up everything. You just get this place all things satisfying for the owner. Find out that the stuff you threw out was what the stuff the owner wanted. And the owner comes up and says, hey, why you throwing my stuff away? Now, you could imagine. Now, you going above and beyond to make sure this place is thick and thin and this place is deep, and you just know the owner going to be pleased. You just know he's going to be satisfied. And when the owner shows up, he finds out that the stuff that he has treasured and cherished, you threw that stuff out on the trash. And he's saying, why are you doing this to my stuff? Now I can imagine how Paul might have felt at this moment.
You're disappointed.
Oh, my God. I mean, his spirit must have got ripped. And God knows how to humble us. He already had a experience of being humble when he got blind, right? But he's humble now, saying, you thought you was working for me, but you're fighting against me. You're persecuting me. You're fighting me. I mean, how you feel when you and your brothers are working on the same project, and he's going to tell you fighting against him. It don't make you feel good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he has fallen in this position where he feels now, I am undone. It's almost like when Jesus caused the sea and stuff to stop, Peter had to run and hide. He said, get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unclean,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so this is where Paul is at right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's at a place where he is as low as he can be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is low as he can be. And God got to break us down sometimes so he can get out there.
Because
a lot of times when he didn't break us down, we're too busy talking our own stuff and doing what we think we need to do. But God got a way to break us all down so we can get humble, and then now we can hear what he got to say. Because humble is the way.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comment? Again, those of you out there, press 1 on your phone so we can bring you live. If you want to comment, make sure your background has no noise. Just press 1 so we can bring you live. If not, we go into the any other comment in here? Any other comment? Okay, other than that, we go into verse 16, 17, and 18.
But rise and stand to your feet. For I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inherit an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me.
Yeah.
Well, I think the number one thing, you know, when you said previously about how he thought he was doing the right thing, you know, sometimes we have to be called out or called to understand that you're doing this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're not representing me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we do when we become Christians is we want to please God. Everything we want to have it to be in his light, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we want to do. We want to be doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we fall short of that because my agenda becomes my agenda becomes the thing, you know. Oh, it's me, it's, you know. And sometimes we do a bad job in ministry when we should really regroup and understand this is not about me, but it's about him.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times we miss the mark. You know, we always missing it. You know, but I thought I did it. No, you didn't do it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it because he calls us. You wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You wrong. That ain't glorifying me. That's something you doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to kill our flesh daily.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we have to pray. And we have to study, you know. All of these things are coming, you know, to make a difference. Because I don't think that was his intention to be doing the wrong thing. He wants to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And the way he was doing it was wrong.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
If we can do things based on how we feel, it's always going to be contrary to what God says. You know, and so a lot of times we go based on what we thought, what we know, you know, and so that's all we got until we get correct.
Mm-hmm.
So correction is good, and that's what the gospel is for correction.
We did go over about stand to your feet, but I think that's very important. This is on your feet for this purpose. I have appeared to you, and the next thing is very important. Why he had him stand on his feet to let him know he wasn't dreaming or knocked down or in a vision. Because when God gives you an appointment, he wants you well aware and well awake of what that is. Not saying that oh, I was in a daze or a dream and the Lord told me to do so-and-so. Yes, that can happen, but most often, like you said, he spoke the language he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He had his stand on his feet. He was alert.
Mm-hmm.
He was hearing right. And he said, this is an appointment, an assignment I'm giving you. And so when God gives you an assignment, I don't care how much people will argue against it, but that's like Sister Ollie was saying, it don't matter how many people got knocked down. God was, Jesus was only there to give one person the assignment. He didn't give that assignment to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things in the kingdom of God, that's where we kind of mess up thinking, you know, that they don't do it like I do it, knowing that the assignment has to filter through who you are and who God created you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we all had the same assignment, you know, who's going to be the eye and who's going to be the hand. And so we don't want to clone each other in the kingdom. So he made sure. And not only that, so now he gave him two assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And then so he said, not only that will you be a minister, but you're going to be a witness.
Mm-hmm.
To the thing, I said, "Oh my goodness! No wonder why he had to get his attention stand on his feet."
Yeah.
He got two assignments: witness to the things now and what you've done, and I mean, this was just too deep and crazy. Be a witness to things that have not come, but I wish I'd be late. I'm like, "Oh, witness to something that's going to be happening." You know, I'm already that witness, but I like it here because he wasn't. He's going to make sure he wasn't cloudy in his mind, in his thinking. You're wide awake, and I'm giving you this assignment. And so I just thought that's very important because sometimes we will try to make other people's assignment be our assignment, or if we don't do it just like them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're cloudy in a daze and you don't already had fallen off your horse, but as he was falling, you know, the Lord made sure that he didn't clunk himself and fall out or whatever and make a mistake like some people do when God said, you're going to be a teacher, and they thought he said preacher, and he's going out there and ruining the church, you know. And nonetheless, amen.
You tell them to arise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, but I see this almost as symbolic as baptism.
Yes.
Because he knocked them down.
Now you have a new assignment in life.
Now the conversion starts, so now you get up.
Yes.
You come up new. You come up brand new.
Yes.
This is his conversion.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So now when he's standing up, now he's standing up because he's called up.
Yes.
He's spoken up by Jesus. So now, arise, now that he's arise, he's arisen, he said, now I'm going to tell you, now I'm going to commission you.
Yes.
You got converted now by standing up. Now I'm going to give you your commission. Here's the reason why I came all the way from glory and to interrupt your trip. here's the reason why I came.
Mm-hmm.
I came. Because I have appointed you, all glory. I have appointed you to be a minister and a witness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! And so not only that you're going to be telling folks about this good news, you're going to demonstrate. Jesus, because a witness got to demonstrate.
Mm-hmm.
A witness got to testify. You know, a witness ain't good if he ain't testifying. So you're gonna be demonstrating that I live, that I rose from the dead. You're gonna be demonstrating that I changed lives, and so you're gonna do the things and the things that you have seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee. So God is gonna reveal stuff to you. So you don't worry about nothing. I got you. Whatever you're going to need to do the assignment that I've given you, I'm going to supply. is just like an employer. I can't make you come to work and I ain't give you the tools to do the work with. How man gonna be smarter than God? So God knows that whatever job he gave you, you are equipped to do it.
Amen.
You're equipped to do it. So don't hesitate to do what God says, because he already equipped you before you were in your mother's womb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were equipped.
Mm-hmm. It's not like when people appoint stuff, because people can snatch us down. But when God appoints us, we are up there to stay. And when he appoints us, when he orders us to speak, we got to speak exactly what he said, no matter who don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, when I see stand up, I look at it as when Paul stood up also, he reverenced God as being who God was, who God is, and who God Alpha and Omega. He began to reverence exactly who God is when he stood up. And I agree 100% what you said, but you kind of got in on something I was going to say. But we all don't want to come back.
When you talk about standing up and that reverence, anytime soldiers are given an assignment, they have to be at attention.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be a posture where they're fully engaged, so they're ready to move. And so he said, not only are you going to be this witness and this minister, but you're going to be delivering to people, to the Jews and to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So here's your assignment. You don't have to be confused about what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm spelling out to you what I want. Here's what I'm calling you to do. I mean, God will tell you exactly what he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to give you the time to do it. And so he said to the Gentiles and to the Jews, and with whom I will send you.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no confusion. And when I send you to them, guess what's going to happen? Their eyes going to be open.
Mm-hmm.
Guess how the light shined on you and now your eyes are open? Their eyes now going to be open and they'll turn from the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a light of the world mandate is, to see the world.
Mm-hmm.
Without darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, and to free them from the power of Satan. Oh my God. To dismantle, to take them from Satan, and then so they can receive forgiveness of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, though, they will be free from sin.
Mm-hmm.
God Almighty. But they're going to have an inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Now, could you imagine a prince living in the palace comes down to a pauper on the street corner,
mm-hmm.
and this pauper had stole some food to eat, and the police say he's going to lock him up.
Mm-hmm.
But the prince said, no, I'll pay his bill and come home with me.
Come live with me.
Come live with me, and whatever I have is yours.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus did with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We were not fit to be in his presence, but he came down.
Yeah.
And now we have an inheritance. We're not only heirs of God, but we joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
He shared everything he got.
Mm-hmm.
It's y'all mm-hmm. too.
Mm-hmm.
That's some generosity.
Yep.
That's some love.
It is.
But I'm telling you, sometimes we get some stuff that we don't want nobody else to
have.
We don't want nobody else to share with us.
How he backed up in verse 16 when he was talking about witness to the things, you know, that you see now and are doing, but also to the things where I'll be with you in the future. Well, when you get down to the B part of verse 18, he's saying it. And in that sentence, he's using a future tense And before the sentence is over, Jesus is using the past tense. So he said that they may receive forgiveness. They haven't done it, but when you go to they may receive, that's in the future, forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who have been. Now, have been, that means already, so he's talking the past tense, sanctified by the faith they're going to have in me. So I was just like, okay. Well, I know it was plain to Paul, I guess. But as the folks say, it was Greek to me when I got down there. I said, wait a minute. He's speaking a future tense and past tense in the same sentence, you know.
Oh, so they received, and he's speaking that as they were received.
And when they do, he's letting them know they already will have the sanctification by faith in me. And I was just like, okay, it's already done.
Wow, it's done. Wow, awesome. Yeah.
Yes, Pastor. I just wanted to say that to emphasize that last sentence in verse 18, those who are sanctified by faith in me, just as Elder just emphasized, that when Paul is true to his mission by being a witness, and being a minister, and these people, the Gentiles, their eyes are open now, so that now they move from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, and they receive the forgiveness of sins. Their inheritance is that they are in connection with Jesus through that love connection, through that trust in Jesus. Their faith sanctifies them, meaning that they are set apart now from sin and from self. And as a result of that faith, they are in true fellowship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So now Paul is charged with a great responsibility, and I truly believe he understood that instantly. And now that because his mind was changed, his actions going forward would now be changed. And understand, as he's telling his story, he's really preaching to those who are in the audience, because we're not to be afraid when we bring the word. We're just supposed to bring the word. And as Sister Ali said, we're not supposed to worry about who likes it or doesn't like it, who agrees or doesn't agree. So Paul was doing exactly what Jesus modeled when he was alive. Amen.
All right.
And what is really amazing is he's fulfilling what God said he's going to be doing.
Yeah.
So he's walking it out. What God, and he's repeating what God said he would be doing, and he's doing it. You know, a lot of times God tells us to do stuff, and we ain't doing it. But Paul is reciting what God told him he was going to be doing. And if you look at, like Ella Ford said, if you look at the circumstances, that's what he's doing. And so your impact on anybody and being a witness, you got to testify. You got to testify. You got to know that whoever you're talking to, you're saying that here's what happened to me. You don't say, well, they told me that if you believe God, that's going to happen. They said, no. You want to know, you want to win somebody, you tell them, listen, I understand where you are, because I've been there. He rescued me. He did this for me. Now, that's how you be a witness. You can't be a witness telling you what happened to Paul and what happened to John and what happened to everybody else. What about you? Has it happened to you yet? And so we see where it's being fulfilled, where he is being this witness by even talking to, he already been in Jerusalem, right? But with the Jews, and the Jews are the one who, now he's in Israel. Right, so he's moving, and he's been preaching to the Gentiles. He's been being a witness to them, And so he is in full stride of what God told him to be. I mean, that sounds a blessed assurance.
Mm-hmm.
That you know you're doing the will of God,
mm-hmm.
because of what God already told you, and then you in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, mm-hmm. God appointed you to do this,
yeah.
And He told you to do it, and you are in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My goodness, you can jump over truth and leap through walls,
mm-hmm.
jump over walls and leap through truth,
mm-hmm.
Because. Now you know you in the will of God. And I always say that the safest place you can be is in the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been manifested,
mm-hmm.
on what God is telling you to do,
mm-hmm.
while you're telling somebody what God told you. While you're telling somebody what God told you to do, you're doing,
mm-hmm.
what He told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
Real easy now, because he got all types of power and strength to carry out exactly what God told him to do. And it's good when you have that one-on-one encounter with God. Sometimes we need that.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Amen. We all have to put
in.
Grandmama can't take you there.
No.
Mama can't take you there.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be there yourself. That's what they say back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Every tub got to sit on his own bottom. You know that one. So this is so awesome that we've seen this unveil right before our eyes, how he's in the midst of what God is telling him to do,
mm-hmm.
and he's fulfilling. So
mm-hmm.
it ought to check us. How are we doing? What he told us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Are we in the midst of doing what he told us to do?
Mm-hmm.
Can we say to somebody else and give that testimony that, yeah, God told me,
mm-hmm.
to do thus and so,
mm-hmm.
and they can see.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a witness, they like to hear, but they want to see something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Folks want to see something.
Mm-hmm.
Folks will believe what you say when they see what you say. That's why we tell folks,
mm-hmm.
when you're talking to them, you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? I mean, all you did was say some words,
mm-hmm.
but you still want them to see something.
Mm-hmm.
And so it ought to behoove us, as we look at this, are we,
mm-hmm.
in the midst of our commission?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are we doing what God told us to do? In all of our assignments are different.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I can't compare my success in what I'm doing with you, or even my wife. I
mm-hmm.
can't compare that, because each one of us,
mm-hmm.
have individually been assigned.
Mm-hmm.
When we were thought of,
mm-hmm.
the need for us was already here. That's why we were dispatched.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he said, let me tell you the purpose,
mm-hmm.
of why I called you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, every one of us has a purpose. All of us has a purpose. So we ought to seek to make sure we are in our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And don't measure by nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to share something with one time the Lord said to me, he said, just because it looks right to you, if it's not lining up with my word, it's not right. You know,
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that, because sometimes things do look right to us,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
it's not right. And the
mm-hmm.
Lord made that clear to me. He, you know, and then again, he'll tell me sometimes, why are you trying to get a speck out of somebody else's eye when you got a point sitting on yours?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all got issues. We all got some problems going on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just wanted to say that this kind of stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it looks right to you,
mm-hmm.
think it's right, if it's not lining up with my words, it's not right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to check it.
And I think it's kind of comical, and I'm stretching this a little bit, but in this particular conversion, or, you know, that's happening in these few sentences, it lets us know that we could be on the right road, but with the wrong assignment. Yeah, he was to continue on that road. Yeah, so he was almost getting to what he was doing. And then God was using him in the capacity of what he was already doing. So a lot of times when we get our assignment, it's not anything that we really cannot do. And if he was this kind of dynamic person, personality, God used him the same way. I think a few weeks ago, I was saying, you know, a guy came to my church and whatever. He said, oh, that's the same. Is that the same? Boom, she still this. But in the light of the conversion. And so God, he can use that. He draws from everything that you are, and then adding the super with the natural. But it's usually something that you're already aware of. You might think it's a little stretching you a little bit, but I my mind, and I'm not getting off the lesson, hope so. We get to the first miracle with the wedding at Cana. And so when Jesus was there and his mother came, and, you know, woman, it's not my time or whatever, she just told them to do what he asked you to do. And so the attendant, he says, you know, go get the water jars, you know, fill them with water. That's something they did all the time for that type of gathering. That was not anything new. The assignment that was going to be behind it
was new.
But he instructed them to do something they already knew how to do in the natural, and then he added the super to it.
Now, this is very important about that sin, because that is the same way that a pastor will see a person in the audience. They're already doing stuff. They already see that calling. That's why I think pastors are always trying to let us know as sheep, look, I didn't call you. God called you. I was able to see that God had called you from the fruit that you are bearing. So it is very important that we know that we need to be already doing something in order for someone to tell you, you know, you're an evangelist.
Well,
you're a pastor. You're a teacher.
Chapter six. David, when he said, look out among those among you. Well, they was already
doing
that work, you know, and you know, something about the Grecian widows or one of the things. They was already deaconing him.
They
didn't have the title of it. But he said, look among you and find those who are already,
they are
filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And they are already doing things.
Then
have them to do whatever.
Right.
I said, with the wedding at Cana, those men,
same.
They was used to doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Exactly. Amen. Anybody else? Press 1 on your phone if you want to comment. Press 1 on your phone. Make sure your background is suitable. Amen. Who's next? Ella Davis?
Ella Davis next.
Yeah. June 19th.
Whereupon, O King, I'm trying to pay you. Grandpa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet a meant for repentance. He's starting here to, well, he's telling the king, first of all, he's talking to, beginning to offer the gospel to the Gentiles, telling them that they need to repent. Now, this, like I said, we said before, this is the same man that these same people were afraid of. The mass murderer, serial killer, as I call him.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling them what he was persecuting them for. Now he's telling them to do the same thing, because he's talking to the Gentiles and he was knocked off the horse. Jesus told him to spread the gospel to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's beginning to talk to the Gentiles and Jews to tell them that they need to hear the word of God, do the word of God, and repent. Now, we just said a few minutes ago about people doing the wrong thing and doing a good thing, but doing it for the wrong reason.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we already know that the Bible tells us that there are the way that seem right unto man,
mm-hmm.
but the end is it leads to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, even in the ministry and the church, there are a lot of people busy doing this and doing that, but they're not doing what God told them to do, the assignment that God wants them to do.
Mm-hmm.
You may be on the pulpit ministry,
mm-hmm.
and God wants you on the kitchen ministry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You may be doing something that makes you sound busy, look busy,
mm-hmm.
sound holy, look holy,
mm-hmm.
and passing out and fumbling at the mouth, mm-hmm. and jumping over the benches. And the bad thing about that is that Satan wants to get us out of position.
Mm-hmm.
That God may not have put you in position he wants. He's going to put you in,
mm-hmm.
but he's taking you to that position.
Mm-hmm.
But he's taking you through some other things.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Satan's job was like he was with Jesus. His plan was to knock Jesus out of those 42 generations of coming down through the line.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to get Jesus out of place. Now he wants to get us out of place in the local church.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves to keep up discord. In the Bible, there are 8 things that God hates, and one of them is discord and arguing among the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan is so smooth and so slick,
mm-hmm.
that he wants to keep up stuff in the church. You're like he really loves to do it in the choir.
Yep.
Every church I've been to,
yes, always, in the music.
There's always something about the choir that
mm-hmm.
I didn't sing. Why you let us sing that mm-hmm. song? And that's
mm-hmm.
nothing but the devil trying to get you out of position
mm-hmm.
that God either has you in
mm-hmm.
or God is going to put you in.
Mm-hmm.
God might not plan for you to be the quality leader.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the reason that your motive is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want to be up and sing,
mm-hmm.
girl, mm-hmm. that girl can sing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you can hoop so bad that the paint come off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
If God is
talking
to
God,
you're just wasting your time.
Yeah, sound the bread, tingle the thumb.
The Bible tells us the way to sing right on the man.
Yeah.
But it leads to destruction.
Amen.
And Satan will take this word and he'll distort it, like he tried to do in Matthew chapter 4 when the Spirit, hear the God,
lifted
Jesus out into the wilderness for the specific purpose of being confronted by Satan. So he could show us how to deal with Satan.
Amen.
Everything that Satan said to him, Satan even told him, it is written.
Mm-hmm.
Jump off this mountain, the angels will come
mm-hmm.
to the world right back home. It
is
written. That showed us how we are to deal with him, how we have control and power over him through this word.
Mm-hmm.
Not how much.
Mm-hmm.
You can quote,
okay.
Or how much Bible you know,
Lord.
How much Bible you live in.
Yeah.
How much faith you
have. That's it.
Hebrews 11:11-6.
That's it.
Without faith,
it's impossible.
It is impossible
mm-hmm.
to please God. Well, just like mama go to work and tell the children to clean up. when she come home, dad and clean up. If you have to please mama, mama not going to please you. Mama not going to take you to the movie tomorrow. Go get you some fried chicken. Mama going to be mad, so ain't nobody going to eat today. God showed us all this stuff.
Yeah.
And the answer, the solution is right here.
And this word.
It's not how much we know. They still saying that if you know better, you'll do better. No. I got a lot of butt whooping because I knew better.
But you still did it.
I still did it. But I didn't do better. You know? Paul is beginning his ministry to Gentiles. You know, I used to wonder, why would God call somebody like Paul to spread the gospel to the Gentiles? Well, who else is there? If you want to convert somebody from drugs, the best person to use is somebody who's been on drugs.
Been there.
Somebody who's been addicted and got free from it. Paul was doing all the stuff he thought was right, but now he's, oh, man.
Yeah.
I know all this word, and I'm smart and educated, I got money, but, man, I was born under the wrong tree.
So
now, I can imagine if Jesus spoke to me directly in that manner, man, I'd be up on top of the White House, you know,
right.
So with a lot of other people. But Paul here is now beginning to confront the Gentiles. Got to get saved. Got to hear this word. Got to get this word. And so he go on throughout his ministry talking about Jesus. And like we said last time, Paul said there are some things that I see that inspiration is from the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
There are some things I received by revelation. Like this account right here. He received about. But I guess that's why he called him Lord. If you know on the ground and you're blind, you can't see, you don't know where yet. Everybody else is on the ground, and I can imagine him. Well, who else could it be other than the Lord? You know, the devil ain't gonna tell you to go out and see somebody. Lead somebody, tell somebody. Paul here now, in my opinion, is beginning to get into contact with the Gentiles, doing what God and Jesus had called them for, to spread the gospel to the Gentiles, to the same mission that Jesus had in Isaiah 61 when he says, I have been anointed to preach the gospel, to open blinded eyes. Paul is realizing that that's what he's supposed to do, but he was doing it to the wrong, presenting that word to the wrong people. The leaders and stuff, they wouldn't want to be saved in the way. Jesus said, you don't know me, but you never known the Father. If you ain't known the Father, man, you ain't doing the wrong boat.
And you know, this is helping us with the scripture that talks about trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. This lesson right here got us right there as well, because we got to trust God with all of our heart and lean not to this, because of the fact that when Paul was doing his thing, when he thought he was living by the law and he was doing his thing, we do that the same thing. So we just doing all this stuff. And then now God steps in and really start showing us what he really wants us to do. And then now we feel like somebody is against us. So when you feel like someone is against you, it make you pray more, right? Make you get into the word more, you know? And so therefore come about a change come, because now you're switching over from the old way to the new way. It don't feel so good at first because of where your mind is, but you got to change your mind. Your mind got to be changed. In the process of getting the mind changed, it seems like something is disordered. But until you make up your mind that you're going to follow God, that's when you can really roll with it.
Amen. But the thing I picked out of the last one is just what he was teaching, and that's how the principles of coming to God, and he said three things: repent,
turn,
and perform works. And so that's so they will know that this is representative of your salvation. Repent, turn, and do good work.
Mm-hmm. And think of Dave, you have something else.
Trusting Lord, Proverbs 3:5. That reminds me, makes me feel the thing where I've seen it. There are a lot of people who are into the word, into the law, love the law and all this stuff, but they want to do stuff that God didn't tell them to do, but they want to do it for their gratification.
Gratification.
A good example is a lot of people come up and they come to the ministry and they're on fire for the Lord. And first thing they want to do is go out and start church that God didn't tell them to do. And 5 years later, the church is no longer in existence. It's not because God has something against them. It's because God didn't tell you to
do that
in the first place. And people will say, oh, you can preach, girl, you can preach. You can have your own ministry and all this stuff. But see, you forget that second part. Trust and love with all your heart, and mean not to
your own understanding. Yeah.
And see, when God wants you to do something, he's going to get your attention. He's going to tap you on the shoulder, pull your hair, or do something to let you know
it's time.
It's him, and that's what he wants you to do. You said it a joke in the church, right? God told you to teach, not preach. And so you must hear, and people, you know, well, you probably know 50 people. Since you've been in the light, that when I started the home ministry, the own church, 2 years later,
you ain't got it no more.
It's not there no more.
Mm-hmm.
But if God has started, God will set it up there. A lot of people want to start a church, and they want a mega church, but they don't have any mega experience. But I ain't never been a preacher. But I've been raised up around preachers. Being a preacher, being a pastor, that ain't easy work. You got to be a master of being able to read people and their personality along with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And some churches, not just before, some churches, people come up and tell you stuff. They want nice stuff. To sound nice to you, before they get to the car, they send something.
Send bad.
You know, that's the devil. That's how you want.
That's what he, yeah. Yes. Yes. Good.
You know, we all are guilty of talking the talk, but we are not walking the walk. And walking the walk and doing both of them is important. God don't care how much I talk. What is I'm doing?
Yeah.
Is I'm walking.
Yeah.
And not walking in here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there. Not there. It's out there in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to go there. I'm going to leave that alone. So see, I get too excited. But God wants us to be for real. He don't care who sees, who's the weather, but if I'm walking that walk out there where I'm out there, I can lie. I can come in here and lie and try to. But I cannot fool God.
Can't fool God.
None of the time.
None of the time.
Sometimes I can't even fool you all, because if you have any type of spirit within, it's going to let you know what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And you don't even have to question it. You may
just
accept me and just do a little quick prayer, but you will know it, because the spirit is not going to connect.
Hang on. Yeah, sometimes we be talking about discerning of spirit, but really, actually, some stuff is just wide open. You ain't even got to discern that. I mean, you don't even have to discern that. We take that so deep, talking about having discerning of spirit, but some stuff it's just wide open. Guess what? One of the reasons is because we already been there. You understand what I'm saying? So now you recognize it real good. And you don't have to you don't have to discern it. It's just when you have discerning spirit, it goes deeper than you just looking in the pew, and you see someone in their lifestyle or whatever. Someone walking here with tight fitting dress and all the way up to here, I don't have to discern that you want some attention. And who have to discern that? We don't have to discern that. That's already, it's wide open. So when you see something that's not really being revealed to everybody,
and you can pick it up. That's when you discernment comes in. But when anybody can see it, it's no discernment.
I've been asking the Lord, help me to see through my spiritual eyes and mm-hmm. not these earthly eyes, because a lot of the time it gets me in trouble. Now, I need to be able to see through both of them.
Mm-hmm.
The spiritual
is
very, very
mm-hmm.
important.
Mm-hmm.
So, we just need to learn how to just show
spiritual
more
and
love,
discerning.
More love.
Yes.
Love is important.
Very, very important. Anyone else? It sure is.
Okay.
We thank God for this lesson. We thank God for everybody who participated. We pray that this word has found you, and we're going to be better for it.
Amen.
And we're going to find ourselves doing what God told us to do,
mm-hmm.
and be that witness to everybody around us.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't what you say that others see,
mm-hmm.
but I declare everything that you do.
My Lord.
So somebody said, let the Lord
mm-hmm.
be seen in you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let him be seen.
Amen.
It's the thing that Dixie Hummingbird used to sing that back in the day. Let the Lord be seen in you.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank God for all of you. We thank God to give God a praise.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Buzzfield, for the word today and all of you that has come in and those that are on the line. We just appreciate you all tuning in to the Noonday Bible Study here at the Light of the World. Our leaders are Bishop Ruth and Bishop Kevin Jones. But we want to take the time now to do our offering. We want you to pay your tithes, and we want you to give an offering, and also you can give a seed. But you can't give a seed without paying your tithes. You got to pay your tithes, and then you can give a seed. But we want you to do that. If you're doing that online, please text me the amount that you are given to 770-906-0607. Text it to 770-906-0607 so we can record that for the Noonday Bible Study. Also, those of you that's in-house, face-to-face, we can use the square. You can use cash or check, however way you want to pay online as well. But we want you to go on and give your tithes and your offerings on today at noonday. God bless.
Okay, you want to pray with the offering and dismiss
Father,
us?
Father, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you, God. We glorify your name, Lord. We lift you up and we give you praise. We give you honor and glory, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you continue to give us funds that we may be able to give, Lord, and that you will give it back to us. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto our bosom that we may be able to give again. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Dismiss us from this place, but not from your presence.
Amen.
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 Thank you all. Y'all have a great day.
You need an envelope?
Yeah.